Chapter 2. Above San Carlos de Bariloche, Rio Negro Province, Argentina. 1755 hours, 10 September 2005.
There it is,
Alfredo Munz said, pointing. Castillo, in the pilot seat of the Aero Commander 680, looked where Munz was pointing out the co-pilot's side window, then banked the high-winged airplane to the right so that he could get a better view below. Darkness was rising, but there was still enough light to see a red-tile-roofed collection of buildings, the Yao Yao Resort Hotel, sitting on a mountainside, sticking into and several hundred feet above the startling blue waters of a lake. Lakes, Castillo corrected himself. Lake Moreno and Lake Nahuelhuapi. Well, it looks like we cheated death again. The airport is only 26 clicks from here, and I'm only half kidding. He straightened the wings, then put his hand palm upward over his shoulder. Let me have the magic black box, navigator, he said. Corporal Lester Bradley very carefully laid a small laptop computer in his hand, and Castillo very carefully lowered it into his lap. He was navigating using a prototype AFC global positioning system device connected to the laptop. Aloysius Francis Casey himself had warned him that it was a prototype, its database incomplete, and he really shouldn't rely on it.
It'll take me 3-5 days to come up with a good data chip for Argentina and that part of the world, Charlie, Casey had told him in Las Vegas. You got somebody down there I can FedEx it to?
Since Aloysius Francis Casey was a man of his word, presumably the data chip was on its way, or shortly would be, to Mr. Anthony Santini, Assistant Legal Attaché, Embassy of the United States of America, Colombia, 4300, Buenos Aires, Argentina. But the bottom line was that it hadn't arrived. Still, what Castillo had, the prototype, looked a hell of a lot better to him than the navigation system he had found in the cockpit of the Aero Commander when they had gone to Jorge Newbery. There had been a bigger problem than aged avionics when they first went to get the airplane at Jorge Newbery. The commander's owner had presumed that when Munz had told him he needed to borrow the aircraft, Munz had meant using the owner's pilot, and he had shown up with his pilot in tow. Ordinarily, Castillo was a devout believer in the aviator's adage, there are old pilots and there are bold pilots, but there are very few old, bold pilots. And accordingly, he really would have preferred a pilot experienced in A, flying his own Aero Commander, and B, flying it around Argentina, particularly since Castillo himself had not flown an Aero Commander for a long time. But the unspoken problem was that after Bariloche, Castillo planned on going on to Asunción and intended en route to take the opportunity to make what the U.S. Army called a low-level visual reconnaissance of the area. For some wild reason, Castillo believed that A, the owner would not be too fond of such an activity, and B, even if the owner gave his blessing, the pilot would not be experienced in such low-level visual reconnaissance techniques. After considerable discussion, the Aero Commander's owner had apparently decided that the several large favors he owed to El Coronel Munz outweighed his enormous reluctance to turn over his airplane to some gringo friend of Munz, even if that gringo sounded almost like a porteño. The owner's agreement had come with a caveat, that the owner's pilot take the gringo friend for a couple of touch-and-goes, what was tactfully explained as being helpful to familiarize one with the aircraft. And what that familiarization flight had done was convince Castillo that while the airplane was obviously scrupulously maintained, most of its navigation equipment had been in its control panel when the aircraft was first delivered. Some 40-odd years earlier. Clearly, none of it was going to be as reliable as what Aloysius Francis Casey had given Castillo in the form of a prototype laptop computer and was worried about his using. All of this had taken time, of course, and it was 12:45 before Castillo finally managed to get Colonel Munz, Lieutenant Lorimer, Sergeant Mulroney, Corporal Bradley, and Max aboard, and could take off on what he announced to the Jorge Newbery Tower as a local area flight, visual flight rules, destination, private field near Pilar. As Castillo retracted the landing gear, he suddenly remembered that another U.S. Army lieutenant colonel, the most decorated soldier of World War II, Audie Murphy, who later became a movie star, had been flying in an identical Aero Commander in 1971 when its wing came off in a thunderstorm over Roanoke, Virginia. Murphy, also a skilled aviator, crashed to his death.
"Right on the money, Alfredo," Castillo said, pointing to the GPS satellite map on the laptop screen. "The airport's 20-odd clicks that-a-way."
"Petner's place is on the other side of the lake, Moreno," Munz replied and pointed again. "I don't see how we can get over there tonight. It'll be dark by the time we get to the hotel."
"You'll think of something, Alfredo. You always do."
Then he reached for the radio microphone to call the Bariloche Tower.